Terry, thank you for that reading. Good to be back with y'all. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary. I was over in the Contemporary service last week and had a show of hands for how many in that context had never heard me before, and I was shocked that a number of people had never heard or seen me before. Anybody like, I've never seen you before? Anybody never? Okay. Number of folks never seen me, heard me. Well, great. So what did I say? What did I say? Great. Yes. No, great that you self-identified, and that's a good reason to reintroduce myself. Great. Thank you. So I am the director of discipleship and came on staff almost 1 year ago. So as director of discipleship, I do things like oversee the small group ministry. I help with leadership training. I help Tara in outreach and kind of just a selection of things that are related to helping people become more like Jesus. So that touches all different kinds of ministry. So that's who I am. That's what I do. And it's good to be here with you today. Glad to speak. So about 7 years ago, a good friend of mine introduced me to a book on the subject of complaining. Now, when someone introduces you to a book or says, hey, listen to this, it's kind of like when someone offers you a breath mint or a piece of gum. Like, are they being nice and they want to just share what they have, or are they trying to tell you something, right? So either way, when my friend recommended this book on complaining, I bought the book, I read the book, and I loved the book. And I decided to accept the author's challenge, and here's what the author challenged everyone to do, was to try to go 21 days straight without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping. Now, by the way, just for those of you who are like, huh, interesting book, the name of the book, you don't need a breath mint, but I'll recommend a book to you. It's called A Complaint-Free World, and the author is Will Bowen, B-O-W-E-N. So just make a note, last time I spoke on this topic, I forgot to tell people the name of the book and the author. Now, going 21 days straight without doing those three things is no small task when you realize that every time you do one of those three things, the counter starts all over again. Somebody sighed over here. Yes, exactly. So, to go 21 days straight without doing those three things did not take me 21 days. It did not take me 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. It took me almost 8 months to successfully go 21 days without doing those three things. Now, why do we complain? Let's start off and just kind of examine this idea of complaining. And probably today, mostly, I'm going to talk about complaining. I'm not going to talk about gossip and criticizing. We could have messages about that on a separate occasion. But why do we complain? I like this quote from Lily Tomlin, an old school comedian, who said that man invented language to satisfy his deep need to complain. James, the Apostle James, says that our tongue is a restless evil, and it's full of deadly poison. So it shouldn't surprise us if that is the nature of the tongue, if that is the nature of speech that's not controlled by God's Spirit, if it really is a restless evil and a deadly poison, it would be natural, it would be normal, if we're not really guided by God's Spirit, that we would complain, that we would criticize, and that we would gossip, right? I mean, it just makes sense. Now, we all complain. Let's just put it out there. It's normal to complain. Now, some of us complain more than others, right? In fact, when I mentioned the subject of complaining, I bet someone came to your mind immediately. It's like, oh, I know that person, and it probably wasn't you. Now, the reality is that when it comes to thinking of shortcomings or places where people don't measure up, we tend to think of others first, and we don't think of ourselves immediately. Again, that's normal. Psychologists call this phenomenon illusory superiority. The Bible says we have a tendency to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Okay? That's normal. Just for this fun, let's just do a little bit of therapy just to kind of get us loosened up here. Would you turn to a couple of people around you and using just your first name, say, "Hi, my name is," and I'm a complainer. All right? Turn to just a couple of people, say, "Hi, I'm," and I'm a complainer. All right. So I took that line, of course, from the playbook of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Alcoholics Anonymous is great ministry, a great program that when someone is in an addictive pattern and they're not aware of it, like alcoholism or any kind of addiction, and complaining is an addiction, okay? It's normal, and it is addictive. All right, so that's the first thing I want you to just kind of get your brain around. Let's just put it out there. We're going to examine it. But just know it's not like a bad word. It's okay just to say, I probably have a problem. It's okay to admit it. Because AA understands that the first step in recovery is what? Admitting you have the problem. And that's the beautiful thing about the 12-step program. So it is addictive. It is normal. It is our default setting. In some way, we think it makes us feel better about ourselves when we complain or criticize or gossip. But the reality is most people don't like to hear it. Yes? That's why we thought of someone else who does it, because when they do it, we don't like to hear it. Yes? Is that not true? So what is complaining? So it seems odd to actually give a definition. But the definition of complain is to express grief, pain, or discontent, or to make a formal accusation or a charge. Simple things like the weather's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry. People drive too fast, they drive too slow. They change lanes too often, they change lanes not enough. We complain about waiting in traffic. We complain about waiting in line anywhere, right? You're at the store and you're trying to navigate and find which line is the shortest. And it brings out something in us. It's like, why don't they have more people at the... Yeah, more registers open, right? Again, it's just the way we're wired that we tend to look at what isn't rather than what is. So what's the big deal? If everyone complains, if it's our normal default setting, why bother talking about it? Well, here's the deal. Complaining is more than just words. Words have meaning and they have power. So Jesus tells this story about the parable of the sower. When the disciples ask him to unpack what does that parable actually mean, Jesus says that when we say words, it's like planting seeds. Now, we probably have some gardeners here, probably few farmers, but we understand that when we plant a certain kind of seed, we expect to harvest a plant or a fruit that resembles that seed. Jesus says that words have power, and when we plant a word that is negative, like a criticism, like a complaint, or like gossip, we are planting a seed, and there is this law that works that we will reap what we sow. And in life, things reproduce after their own kind. These are like written into the DNA of life. We understand it from creation. And Jesus is saying that we need to understand that there is power both for good and for evil in the words that we speak. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Philippians 2:14, Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. The Greek word for everything is everything. So I don't think Paul was like, he just happened to be having a good day. He had gone 21 days complaint-free, right? And it's like, I think I'll write that in Philippians. I think Paul understood that to really have a healthy life, to be concerned about the words that we plant, we really ought to think, what if in my life I would do everything without complaining and arguing? If I plant angry words, or if I sow angry words, in some way that person is going to reflect the anger that's in my words. In fact, even if in my tone or my body language I sow that kind of communication, it's going to have an impact. If you've ever grown up around or been around a very angry person, it's like they're planting something in you, yes? Now, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Partially true. We can have like Velcro so that when those words hit us, we're immune to it, and that's really where we need to be. But the reality is that words do have power. So how do we take control of our speech so that instead of sowing weeds, seeds that produce weeds, we can start sowing life? So today I'm going to invite you to go on the 21-day challenge. And here's why. I think when we actually learn something and say, I'm going to do something about it, rather than I'm just going to think about it or mull over it or allow it to just make me feel a certain way, but we actually say, I'm going to do something, that's when real learning actually takes place. And if you want to break this cycle of complaining, it's going to take an action. So I'm going to invite you today to actually do the same thing I did about 8 years ago and take the 21-day challenge. Are you excited? Laughter, that's what I expected. Now, this discipline of going 21 days complaint-free is kind of like a spiritual discipline. It's not a classic one. Some of you may have fasted from food before. Yes? That is a classic spiritual discipline, right? This is a fasting from complaining, okay? What would it be like to go 21 days and fast from complaining? Well, here's what I think it does. The goal of all Christian disciplines is really taking control of those things that want to control us so that our mind and our spirit and our heart can be more sensitive to the presence of God's Spirit. That's all it is. The classic disciplines aren't like magical in and of themselves. Like, oh, this year I'm going to do 10 of the disciplines. And I'll check off, I did that discipline, I did that discipline. And at the end, you may have done all of those things. But if it doesn't create more space and more hunger and openness to God's Spirit, the discipline really hasn't done its work. And so this discipline of going 21 days of fasting from complaining is really about creating space so that you don't kick into your default of complaining, but you just check in with God. So if you decide to sign up in the back, outside in the foyer or whatever it's called, you'll get one of these purple bracelets. And what the author, Will Bowen, suggests that you do, that every time you catch yourself complaining, you actually take the bracelet off whatever wrist it's on and put it on the other wrist, all right? Now, when I first started describing this in the contemporary service, people assumed that every time you complain, you snap yourself as punishment. No. The idea is that when we have a pattern that's kind of been set in our brains, we do it without thinking, we need something that interrupts that train of thinking. And that moment, whatever it takes, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, to actually take the bracelet off one wrist and put it on the other is a chance to slow down and to catch yourself, why did I just complain about that? A chance to examine your words, a chance to slow down, maybe even a chance to breathe and say, God, I've been on autopilot all day today. I need to invite you back into my words. I need to invite you back into my heart. I need to let you guide my words again. So there's some steps that I realized that I had to go through, and we'll go through these here in the next few minutes. Number one, the first step in becoming complaint-free is that I had to become aware that this was actually my problem. Now, you that simple exercise of following my directions and saying, hi, my name is, and I'm a complainer, right? Well, really, that first step, you have to get comfortable with this idea, yes, I do complain too much. If you don't get through that first step of recognizing that it's in you, you're probably not going to actually get to the point where you are complaint-free. Are you with me? Like, if it's everyone else's problem, but it's not yours, it's just going to go whoop, right? You're not going to pay any attention. So in anything, if it's going to have impact on us, we have to realize it's me. It's me. Jesus said, having ears that they might hear, having eyes that we might see. What was Jesus talking about? We know that we have ears. We know that we have eyes. The question is, do we hear and understand what God is saying? And do we really see what God is doing and respond accordingly? So, first thing is to actually have that sense, yes, this is me, and I want to make a difference. Now, here's a cool thing. It may encourage you. If you think it, it doesn't count. Like if inwardly you realize, I want to complain, but I'm just going to be quiet, you don't have to move your bracelet. Now, it sounds like it's going to make it easier, but the problem is we can't keep it inside. It ultimately gets out. But the reality is, in the beginning, it was just like Mom used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And when I was first learning this process of becoming complaint-free, there were times when I better just keep my mouth shut, right? Because I wanted to hit that goal. I did want to go 21 days straight without complaining. So in this first stage, it's just recognizing, yep, that's me, and that's an important place to begin. The next step is actually practicing and doing something about it. Like, I'm actually going to pay attention to my words. I'm actually going to get the bracelet. I'm actually going to try. I'm going to start doing something different. That'll be like my 2019 New Year's resolution. I want to complain less. I want to be complaint-free. Now, in the process, you will make mistakes. Years ago, I learned how to juggle, and it was a great thing. In my mind, I thought, that's so hard. I could never learn how to juggle. That's what I thought. It's like magic. How is that? And I would start throwing things up. It's like, it ain't going to happen, right? I didn't even think it was possible. You may be thinking, there's no way anyone could be complaint-free for 21 days, yeah? How in the world would I do that? They gave us little bean bags so that every time we dropped it, it wasn't like a rubber ball that would go boing, 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 and you have to bend over and pick it up again. They know when you teach juggling, you're going to drop it. Yeah? You're going to drop it. In this process, you're going to complain. You're going to drop one of the balls. Yes? So embrace the fact that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first until you get better. A small child that's learning how to walk or talk, they're not constantly berating themselves with self-talk. It's like, I'm never going to walk. I've got a one-year-old who learned how to walk maybe when she was 10 months, and that's not how it was. She was excited. Every time she would plop down on her behind, she would get back up and try it again. She would plop down on her behind. She would try it again. Why? Because she wanted to walk. And now she's doing her dad, trying to get dad out. And dad's like, come on. I want to hear my name first, right? Mom. Yes? We are like this in this area of becoming complaint-free. So, second thing is try it. Try it. Do something. It's not about just acquiring more information. It's not about having a good thought. How do I change the way I live? The third thing is that we just need to do it so we can have these moments where it's like, ah, I did it. I went half a day and I didn't complain. And there was something very rewarding about that, that we realize we're different. I have a new behavior. I don't have to always be the same way. My future is not determined by my past. I can change. The essence of the new life in Jesus is this hope that we can be new creatures. Yes? I mean, that's what's exciting. The essence of disciple is a learner. How do we learn a new way? It's by practicing. It's by practicing with others. When you sign up out there and say, yes, I want to go on the 21-day challenge, you'll be a part of a larger community, and I will send you regular emails, give you encouragement, give you more opportunities to learn so that you, like my little one-year-old who learned how to walk and talk, you can learn how to be more complaint-free. Simple things like, instead of saying, whew, what a problem. Man, this is a problem. What if you trick your brain and say, what an opportunity? You see the difference? How one takes your mind one direction, another takes your mind another direction. How about instead of saying, oh, today I have to, what if we say, today I get to? Little tricks. It does something with your mind, doesn't it? What if I struggle with, da-da-da-da, to, this is a journey. This is exciting. What if instead of always thinking, you did this, the other person, I created this, and I can change. Are you up for it? Is anybody excited? Anybody going to try it? All right, there's one of you. I saw one little hand. This guy right here. I saw your hand go up. Don't change your mind. He's like, oh, no, I'm going to change my mind. He's called me out. Do the fun. Make it fun. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. I believe, Father, you've given us an incredible gift in our mouths, in our speech, in our tongue. And Father, we want our words to be full of spirit and life. Jesus said that his words were full of the spirit and life, and we want to plant spirit and life, not only in the lives of the people around us, but in our own hearts. So Father, would you guide us on this journey? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.